everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. I think you've all pretty much figured that out by now. And today joining me as my co-host is David, although I think I'm going to have to call you Billy or something today, David.
Yep. one of those names. I can go with Dirk.
I'll never remember that. I'll just, if I call a different name, just know that it's you.
Okay.
Because today we welcome as our guest award-nominated writer, performer, actor, and disability advocate David Harrell. And that's why I'm having an issue. It's like when I say David, I'm going to have two people answering me at the same time. So welcome, David Harrell.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for allowing this, David, to join you guys tonight.
You're very welcome, and thank you for joining us. The funny thing is, it just seems like I'm inundated with Davids in my life, and I don't know how it happened, but my husband's name is David, my son's name is David, my father-in-law's name was David, my husband's best friend's name is David. Then I have David, my co-host. I have David, you on my line, and I can go on from there. So do you see my predicament?
I, you know, it's a good name, though. You know,
it's I know.
It's I don't see it as a predicament. I think you're blessed.
I agree. I have to agree with David as well. You are blessed with David.
Thank you. Well, for our listeners, David Harrell is the man behind the one-man show called A Little Potato and Hard to Peel. And I'd love for you to give us some background about yourself before putting together A Little Potato and Hard to Peel. Was it, being an actor, something that you always wanted to do?
Well, I think I was always sort of a performer, or my mom would say I was a ham, I guess, growing up. And but I didn't think of myself as an actor. I thought of myself as an athlete. I think I wanted to be, you know, a professional baseball player was one of the number one goals. And I think as I got older, I kind of found my way to the theater. I would do like little church musicals, you know, with my mom, and I always enjoyed it. I always enjoyed sort of being up there. I always enjoyed the sort of excitement. But I didn't think about it seriously, and as I was in high school, this girl I had a slight crush on told me I should, you know, audition for this new drama class because I was funny, and then I would be very cute if I was on stage. And I thought, oh wow, I could maybe have a date with this girl. But
yeah.
I auditioned for the drama class, and I fell in love, not with that girl, but with the theater. Actually, it was a moment of clarity, I think, in high school, that this felt more like home, like where I belonged. And I didn't feel I needed to accomplish or prove anything else on the baseball field or in sports. So I kind of shifted in high school, and I decided to study theater in college and worked professionally, kind of regionally. I lived in Atlanta for a while and Raleigh, North Carolina for a while and worked with theaters there. And then went to grad school and then came to New York once I finished graduate school.
Wow. So you did. And what kind of classes did you take besides, you know, theater or plays or whatever, drama is what they call it, I believe. Did you take anything else to be able to feed yourself while getting an acting job?
No.
That's the parent
really.
In me.
That's the parent, right. No, I think there was a sense of, that was part of a conversation I'm sure I had with my dad. We talked a little bit about it, but both degrees I have, a Bachelor of Fine Arts and a Master of Fine Arts, and both were pretty intense and specific programs. So, certainly it wasn't conservatory type program. It was a liberal arts education. So I took obviously history and math and English and, geography and, geology. And things like that through undergrad. So I had a degree, and certainly, you know, that's, I mean, I think it does build a well-rounded person. So I have done a lot of different jobs to make money or pay the bills. And, and sort of find my way kind of through my career as well.
Well, that's a good thing. Because
right.
I told my kids that when they were little, you know, and one wanted to be a star, one wanted to be a football player, one wanted to be this. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, that's all well and good. You can be anything you want to be, but just make sure you get your education because you never know when you're going to need it.
Well, it's true. Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think when I was coming up, things weren't so specific. I think that the theater really did allow itself to serve me. I mean, obviously, it certainly served me and got me in the door and got me interviews for a variety of different jobs. And I sort of found my way into sort of solo performance as well as a means to create work for myself
mm-hmm.
as well.
Now, is A Little Potato and Hard to Peel your first written play, or have you written before?
Yeah, I when I lived in North Carolina, I think in 2002, I created another solo play called The Quest, and it was sort of still an autobiographical show, but it was kind of a little more mythological, where I went on this quest to find two hands because I was born without my right hand, and
mm-hmm.
In the show I felt that I would never have a girlfriend unless I had two hands. So at 12 years old, I go on this quest to find two hands. And so I did that for a while, and when I moved to New York, I just wanted to change the structure up a little bit. I felt like I didn't want it to make it so specific about my journey that that a greater theme was left out. And so I changed the title to A Little Potato and Hard to Peel because my grandfather used to tell us that his baseball team as a kid, they were called the Little Potatoes and Hard to Peel because they were smaller and maybe not as talented, but they always played with their heart and they never got down. They never got down, even if they won or lost, because they knew on the inside they were tough and hard to peel. And as a kid, listening to that story, I just assumed it was true. And my grandfather died when I was 12, so I never knew him as an adult. And I think what I got from that as I thought back on him telling me that story was just a metaphor for life. There's this idea to not let circumstances define us or peel away who we really are and the sort of core of ourselves. So
mm-hmm.
I felt like through my specific journey, I could open it up to a more sort of universal theme that we all face circumstances and we all face things that we can choose to not let define us. And then that became A Little Potato and Hard to Peel. So it's still an autobiographical journey of my attempt to define normal. And I think sometimes that's a journey a lot of us go on.
Exactly. In many different ways. You know,
right.
Whether it's emotionally or physically or mentally or whatever, we all have our little things that we need to get through and learn how to deal with. So
mm-hmm.
you just put yours in writing.
Right, yeah, right. I just, you know, do this for 50 minutes a night or so. So, yeah, it's true.
Well, I give you kudos or huge credit and congratulations for bringing this forth and putting it into a show, because I'm sure you've inspired a lot more people that have come to your show. Or even, you know, if they don't have something that they feel they need to deal with, they can go home and tell somebody else that they know are going through a problem, whether it's a physical deformity or, you know, like I said, emotional or mentally, you know, and maybe help that would push them to help them.
Right. And I hope that, you know, they laugh and they, you know,
mm-hmm.
they also are just entertained in the show as well. I think first and foremost, that's what I hope an audience gets from the show, that they laugh, have a good time, and then ultimately they're moved, whether it be a direct experience that they're feeling or going or experiencing at the moment, or if it's something that they've kind of gone through that they recognize kind of a shared humanity with someone who may look different than them. And I think that's also an important part of it too, is that we kind of come closer, and I think theater is a great way of doing that, of really having an opportunity to share the humanity that we all have in common together for that hour or 2 hours that we're in that space, because it happens where we're all together, audience and performer.
Right, exactly. Now, I'm sure you probably get people that come up to you after the show to talk to you. What kind of feedback do you get from them?
You know, I really did a lot of positive feedback. I performed yesterday down in Georgia, actually. I performed at a college down there, and this guy waited for me for a long time. You know, I was talking to some other people, and he just kind of was sitting there waiting, and said, you know, that was really life-changing. I really appreciate it. And, you know, my finger doesn't, you know, work all quite the same way as most people's. And people don't really notice it, but it's something that I've that's always kind of been a thing that I've dealt with. But it was so nice to hear your story and kind of see your journey. It gives me motivation or inspiration that I'm going to be okay, that I'm doing the right thing. I'm here in college and I'm doing moving my life forward. So mm-hmm. like things like that are always positive to hear. And so yeah, I do. I get a lot of a variety of feedback. I think and within a lot of different stories that people connect to my story as an actor. A lot of people connect, you know, this idea of sport and trying to prove yourself in athletics and then you know the search for love too. I think it's kind of all universal.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more with that. Everybody's always looking for love, whether it be for a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or just your brother, your sister, or friend. You know, everybody needs love, and you're always looking for that somehow, some way. You don't feel complete without it.
Right. But and I also feel like it's, you know, in the show, it's also kind of learning that there's also a love for who you are,
right,
for the
yourself.
Human being, the love of yourself because you are who you are, and there's nothing. I mean, I think the lesson that I kind of learned through the show is there's nothing I can accomplish, there's nothing I can do to make me feel normal until I realize that my hand is one of the many differences that make me completely and beautifully normal, because that's
right.
it's who I am, and that is truly what's beautiful. So it's sort of embracing the many different and sometimes complicated aspects of ourselves, and realizing that those are who we are, and not trying to always feel like we have to fix something or prove something or accomplish something necessarily.
Right. And I'm sure that your parents were huge in getting you to live your life as normal and not hold that back as having something wrong with you and trying to hide it or fix it.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think my parents were a very big influence in my life, and in this show, in some ways, it's sort of a nod to them and it's sort of a thank you to them for all that they did. You know, they didn't know anyone else who had gone through this experience. They'd never seen anyone who was born without a hand. And so they didn't have a lot of places to turn. And this is obviously before the Internet. There was no Google. They really didn't know where to go, and someone suggested they take me to a Shriners Hospital, and that's what they did. And I think they worked to really promise me that I was never going to be different. And as I continued to grow up, that was sort of their decision that day when I was born, was that they were not going to treat me different. And I think, you know, it's part of that journey was my realization that for all their best intentions, I was going to come to the realization that I was different. And so once that happened, I had to take on that journey. I had to sort of bring on this this hand. I had to carry that with me. And I had to certainly process through what that meant. And it meant a lot of different things. It meant probably a desire to prove especially as a kid, that I could play sports. I think the desire to prove to other kids that I was as good as they were, or I could do things as well as they could, really proved to be a very motivating thing for me, and made me work really, really hard. And I think find accomplishment through that. And I think that's and that was certainly encouraged by my parents. My parents certainly encouraged me to play and adapt and figure out ways to play better. My dad especially, with baseball mm-hmm. and basketball and football, just really helping me figure out how to catch the ball better, how to field the ball better, and what positions would that I would be a little stronger in. And so they were completely supportive and very inspirational to me, and still are. I mean, and not even just in what they did for me, but just themselves as individuals. I learned a lot by observing them. They were good mentors to have. So that this show's really an opportunity for me to say thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm sure that they appreciate that and are very grateful that you've come to live your life the way you want to live it and not let anything hold you back.
Yeah, I think so. I think they are. I think they're they're happy, you know. They probably wish I would have gotten a business degree just
yeah.
yeah.
as well.
All right.
But they are. They're very happy. So that's great.
You're just successful in a different way than what maybe they would have liked, but they still stand right behind you and support you in what you're doing. So that's what counts. Now, David, co-host, I guess I'll call it.
Yes.
You had a question.
Yes, I did. Other than your parents, who remains your biggest supporters of your career?
Well, I have several friends. There's kind of a core group of folks who I went to graduate school with that are always very supportive, and they tend to come in and see if I'm doing a show again in New York. They're the ones who will usually be there and supporting it. You know, I have a lot of extended family as well that continues to support. I think now with things like Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, you know, more people are kind of learning about, like, people from my past about what I'm doing and certainly being very supportive of that work. So there's a wide variety of different people who are supportive. I would say probably that core group of friends that I was in school with are really special to me.
That's great.
Okay. Well, I was wondering why you decided to write a play instead of a book, or are you thinking of writing a book as well?
Well, that's a great question. I think because I'm an actor, I think I needed to, and a lot of the way this was created was through sort of kind of improv and talking and me telling stories. Really, it came from the stories that I would tell, and I worked for a theater many years ago in Columbus, Ohio, and would be telling these stories to make people laugh, and the artistic director of the theater said, you know, you should think about making a play and sort of incorporating these stories into it. So it kind of came from a performance place, and so a lot of the writing was informed with sort of the storytelling and talking about things. I do plan to write a book. It's funny, when the idea for the show came, it took about 4 years or so of me just sort of saying, I have this great idea for a show, and ultimately kind of getting to a place where I was able to write it and begin that process. And it's now kind of the same thing with the book. It's been about 3 years or so that I've like, oh, I got to do a book. I'm going to do this great book. I got to get a good book. And so hopefully I'm hoping that it's on the right trajectory to start to come to reality pretty soon.
You're always busy and you're doing the play and going different places with it. And I know it's not easy to sit down and actually probably even write, you know, a paragraph at this time, but I'm sure eventually
right.
you'll get to it.
I think so. And I think what I would like to do first, honestly, is I've adapted Little Potato to a children's play called The Boy Who Would Be Captain Hook, which is great. This theater festival I'm doing in New York right now is producing both of those shows, so I'm very fortunate in that way. And I think that might be the way to start is trying to figure out how I can create that children's story. And I think that seems kind of interesting to me and a little less daunting than trying to write kind of a broader book. Because I would love to, you know, in the book, I think because there was so both my parents and grandparents and a lot of folks that influenced me, I would really want to dwell or delve into some of that history as well. And I think that I believe is sort of the daunting aspect of it, that there's a lot of, you know, a little potato and heart to peel kind of, it does sort of, you when you start to peel away a little bit of that story, there are a lot of things that kind of brought me to this place and a lot of different stories that have become the narrative or helped me to develop this narrative of my life. So I would want to give some attention to all of that. And I think that's kind of the daunting aspect. And I think it's just a matter of just diving in and trying to get into some of that history and some of that, some of the stories that I want to tell that I've heard, you know, my whole life growing up, but I want to figure out how I can tell them, because I think those are all stories that are, that build upon themselves to create, you know, the story of me and what
right.
I've done in my life.
Right. Yeah. Because you know, you have more than one influence in your life. So
you
kind of want to bring them all in, but that's not an easy task. So
not at all. So the kids book would be an easy task. So maybe if I can accomplish that, and I think it's a fun story too. And I think it has a very good lesson and something very, very positive for families to talk about. So so I do want to kind of maybe throw energy into that first and then see if we can get that working and then move on from there.
Right. Now, I was going to bring up The Boy Who Would Be Captain Hook. I almost said Cook. For our listeners, would you mind just elaborating a little bit more on that and what it's about for them, so in case they want to take their kids?
Oh, sure. It's you know, A Little Potato Heart to Peel is certainly a family show. And I had this idea that I could take it into schools and that it would do really really well. Done that, and it does play very well to kids. But sort of that younger elementary, from like K to second, third grade, I was getting feedback that they wanted to see something a little bit different, or was there a way to adapt it to that younger audience? And I processed and kind of worked through for a few years, and then came up with the idea that I could explore this sense of play, because I, you know, playing was so important to me as a kid, and just wanting to be included on the playground, on the baseball field or football field or basketball court, all those things kind of came back to me in these memories of really wanting to play, and how at times I would not be the one picked, because if I didn't know the kids, they saw my hand or they saw maybe the metal hook that I wore a prosthetic hook, I wasn't included. So I kind of went back and thought about those feelings and those stories, and I created a little bit more of a fictional story of my life as I began school, that I was not included on the playground, that kids didn't really know how to include me because of this metal hook. They were a little afraid that I would pop the ball or I might hurt someone, until the game became Peter Pan, and then it made sense that I would be Captain Hook, I was perfect. And so the idea of finally being included was huge and exciting. But ultimately, it became very boring to always be Captain Hook. I decide that I want to be a hero as well. I don't always want to be the villain. And so I try to change the game and make Captain Hook the hero, which freaks the kids out on the playground because they don't know how to deal with that. And it's to them, it's you have to play the part you're supposed to play. And so I kind of go on this journey to find a way to be a hero with my hook, or with even without my hook, and then kind of learn that I can do all these other kind of things, that I can adapt to play sports without my hook, and that there are other characters that I could certainly be, and kind of go back to the playground and sort of teach this lesson to the kids, and they come to see that, oh, wow, we get it, that you can be a hero even when you don't look like someone else. And so, and then we're able to kind of go back and sort of play games together in a variety of different ways. So I'm not always seen as Captain Hook. I can still play Captain Hook sometimes, but that's not all that I'm seen as being, that they realize that there's more to a person than sometimes the first perceptions that we have once they get to know that person a little bit better. So I think that to me is such a great lesson for kids to think about, because they certainly understand the idea of play, they understand the idea of imagination, and hopefully the idea that if we come across kids who look different than us, or maybe they do things differently than us, that we can adapt our games and include them in a variety of different ways, and then that makes the game even better. So that's sort of the journey of the boy who would be Captain Hook.
I absolutely love that. You have no idea. I have a special needs son. He's now 17, but that's an age only. Mm-hmm. And I would love for him to see that play, because I would hope that it would inspire him and get him to understand about, you know, what he goes through and how to deal with it. Because I think you're doing that for a lot of people, both kids and adults. And
yes,
I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I think I hope so too. I hope I've been able to take it into schools and it does, you know, I hope it's entertaining for the teachers, you know, that they're mm-hmm. they're entertained, but then it gives some things to talk about. I was in New Jersey, I think a week or so ago, and this, you know, little kindergartner, precious little girl, kind of, you know, I do a question and answer afterwards, just so I can, because kids are going to be curious. They're curious about me, and they're curious kind of about the show, and sort of to get them talking about it. And this precious little girl says, you know, it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter if you have one hand or you don't have one hand. It's fine. And I was like, you know what? I want you to remember that for a very, very long time. You know?
Yeah.
So it's great. I hope that message does come across, and I'm so, you know, thankful that it gets an opportunity to be performed in a theater. It's a lot of fun to do it in a theater at this festival, the All for One festival that I'm doing this month, and I think there's another performance that's coming up, and I think we have a good group of kids, and I think even a birthday is coming, a little birthday celebration. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun in a couple of weeks. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm just going to let our listeners know the dates and times for A Little Potato and Hard to Peel are Friday, October 25th at 7 p.m., Sunday, October 27th at 4 p.m., and Saturday, November 9th at 7 p.m. The boy who would be Captain Hook is Saturday, November 2nd at 11 a.m. I'm trying to read my own writing. Isn't that horrible? Both shows are taking place at the Cherry Lane Theater, which is 18 Commerce Street in New York, West Village.
I think it's 38 Commerce.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, I copied and pasted that one, so that one you can't blame me on.
I'm not going to blame anyone. And I'm pretty sure it's 38 Commerce, but if it's 18, I will feel very guilty.
Well, it's the All for One Festival, and it's in New York City, and you can go to afofest.org. and look up A Little Potato and Hard to Peel and get buy your tickets there. Or if you want to see the boy who would be Captain Hook, you can do that as well at the same site. will you be traveling more with that? Are you going to different states? Or what are you going to do with it next?
Yeah, I hope so. I work with an organization called Young Audiences in New Jersey, Eastern Pennsylvania. So they provide artists for schools and community groups, and artists for young theater for young audiences. And so I've begun working with them more. So I'm going into schools like in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, actually all the way up into the Boston area, really
wow.
throughout the rest of this year, pretty consistently. And then I'm going down to North Carolina in April. There's a theater company that's bringing me down to do a little Potato and Hearts appeal, and I think mid-April. So I'll be doing the show again there. And it's continuing to grow and find an audience, hopefully. It's just a matter of, meeting new people. And as my dad would always say, the more stuff you throw on the wall, the more liable to stick. So just trying to get it in front of as many people as possible, and hopefully continuing to find and build an audience. So, it's kind of growing each year, which has been great. Over the last 2 or 3 years, it kind of grows, in performance. And the Boy Who Would Be Captain Hook is really new. I haven't been doing that as much. So, mm-hmm. It's definitely getting, it's definitely growing, and I think it's a good story to tell and hopefully to share.
I think so, too, and hopefully, by this time next year, you'll be moving across the United States and sharing it with us in the Midwest and other people on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It's a good start to have the East Coast. That's a big majority of the U.S., and now you need to eventually move this way.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
It's good to, like I said, to have this festival, which is such an amazing festival, and I hope your listeners do get to at least go to the website and see some of these other amazing artists that are doing solo performance, and to be able to say it's been produced here in New York, and I think that's a great accomplishment to have, and I think it does sometimes get people in other locations sometimes to say, oh, well, maybe we will take a little look at this, and
right.
Hopefully they will. Hopefully it will continue to move. It will move west like the pioneers of old.
Right. Move west, young man. Move west.
Move west.
Absolutely.
And up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Come up and west. Come up a little.
I'm going to be actually I'm doing a keynote, I think, in Columbus, Ohio in February. So maybe I'll slowly kind of getting a little further into the Midwest.
There you go.
Slowly but surely.
That's getting closer. I'm in Illinois, so that's getting closer.
Yeah.
Oh, that is very close. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And David is in New York, so, he gets to be where everything is.
We'd love to have you up here in upstate in Saratoga Springs
I've done a few things up in like Oswego. I don't know the geography of the state well enough to know where Saratoga Springs is, but Oswego and Syracuse, I've done a couple performances there, and I'm hoping to kind of keep the connections that I've made up there to growing that each year. But certainly, please let folks in that area know about my website, and I can certainly get more information, and would love to come up. Upstate it's beautiful up there. I love getting up there and being able to rent a car and take a trip.
We do have a caller that's been holding on for the whole time we've been on the show. Would you mind taking one call?
Oh, sure. No, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. Area code 504, you're live on the air.
Hi, my name is Lee.
Hi, Lee. Did you have a
hey,
question?
Lee. Hi, yeah. Hi, Dave. I live in New Orleans. I'm Shirley's mother, who lives in New York.
Oh, hi, Lee.
Yeah, I was listening to your friend talk, and I'm getting ready to watch something with Captain Hook that it's a program called Once Upon a Time. Yeah, and in a series, they got Captain Hook in it. And I'll sit
right,
right
the television show Once Upon a Time, right?
Yeah, it's a television show. It comes on at 7 o'clock here. Yeah,
right.
Because Peter Pan kidnapped this little boy, and his parents are trying to find him, and Captain Hook took him to Neverland to try to rescue him.
Oh, well, that's you know what? I haven't watched that, but that sounds awesome. If Captain Hook is the actual hero and the good guy, is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, and Peter Pan is playing the villain. Yeah.
Awesome. I need to. I will check that out because that would be amazing to see. And I love it when they kind of turn the story around a little bit. I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love science fiction.
Right. Awesome.
And I was listening to your friend talk, and it was so interesting. You know, that I'm getting ready to watch this program about with Captain Hook, and there he is talking about Captain Hook.
That's
you know, it was like an ESP, you know?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well,
yeah,
We thank you so much for listening, Lee, and for calling in. We really appreciate it, and we will let you go so we can you can watch your show because it's going to be starting soon.
Okay. Well, y'all have a great weekend. And
you
I have
too.
To
say
right. Win Sunday.
Thank you. Take
Buffalo
care.
And the Buffalo Bills. So hope they win.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a nice weekend.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
That was cute.
That's true. I'm going to have to check that out. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I started watching that
a long time ago, but never kept up with it. And I know they do have different types of the children's figures on there, except it's in adult form. So.
Right. It'll be interesting.
It's Captain Hook Day. And also, before I let you go, I wanted to let our listeners know that they can go to your website, davidharrellonline.com, to keep up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrell is Harrell. Was there
correct.
Anything that you wanted to add to that?
You know, you can certainly find both shows on Facebook, A Little Potato and Heart's Appeal, as well as The Boy Who Would Be Captain Hook. So please, you know, find those shows on Facebook and like those shows. That would be great. And also they're all on Twitter as well. So, and you can follow me on Twitter, David_Harrell, and certainly, you know, keep up with the information. And if they would like more information, you can certainly give that to them. If they'd like to, you know, have ideas of bringing me into school or whatever, that would be great.
I just want to let them know, too, the Twitter for your shows, Little Potato Heart to Peel, is @LPHTP, and the other one is @BoyWhoWouldBe. It's too bad Twitter
mm-hmm.
doesn't let us write out everything we want to put on there if our Twitter handles.
I know.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us today, and I really do hope you make it this way with your plays because I'd love to see them and bring my son to the one.
Well, absolutely, and please, I hope you guys can follow along, and I certainly will do my best to update as much as possible what's going on. I think, again, this All for One Festival is such an amazing opportunity, and I'm so excited to be doing this for the next few months, and I think it's a great opportunity for me and again both of the shows to continue to gain momentum from it. So I'm
definitely.
Very, very excited about it. Yeah.
Definitely. And another good thing too, if you don't make it this way real fast, you could also put out a DVD. There you go.
That's another idea, right? Yeah, exactly.
So now you got the plays, you got the book, you got the DVD.
Got the book and the DVD.
What else do you need?
I have to have the e-book if to go along with the book.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, probably the workout video after that.
There you go.
You know,
turning into couch
aerobic.
Potatoes.
Right. Yeah, become stop being a couch potato and become a little potato.
That's
perfect DVD.
I love
this
it.
This exercise
I
program
it.
Will make you a smaller or a little more of a little potato than you were a couch potato. Something like
right.
that. Good idea.
I love it. I love the way your mind thinks.
Well, again, you guys were such a delight, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I really, really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and you're welcome back
at
any time.
Great.
I want you to take care of yourself, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See, David, you're in New York for all this stuff. Too bad you can't make it to all of the different, you know, things that are always going on.
I know. It's a little far, but if he were up closer, I probably would. It's just so hard to get all the way down there. And, you know, it's, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I could.
Yeah,
I
know, because you don't drive, so it's not easy.
I don't drive, so it's not easy.
Right, exactly. Well, he was a lot of fun, and I wish him only the best. I definitely would love to see the play, and hopefully they'll bring it by this way. And maybe, you know, there's a lot of theater companies and theaters in Chicago, so hopefully one of them are listening. Maybe we can put a bug in their ear.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see him. I mean, he's so inspiring, though.
I couldn't agree more. Well, for our listeners, we want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I hope you will join us again on Tuesday, October 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to have as our guest Michael Fierro, and he's a numerologist. If you were ever curious to know what your number is and what it means for you in life, you are more than welcome to call in because he will be taking phone calls. And our phone number is 718-506-1540, and you just press the number 1. We do expect to have a lot of calls that day, so please call in as soon as you can to get in queue, and we can get to as many calls as possible. And with that, I'm going to thank everybody again for joining us, and thank you to Suzanne for setting up the interview, and thank you for David Harrell joining us, and thank you, David, for co-hosting with me.
Oh, thank you for letting me join you.
Yeah, I let you every show.
Yeah.
And thanks for Lee calling in and talking to our guest and telling us about Captain Hook. That was sweet of her. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. God bless. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.